Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Colosso Soprano.
Go!
The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Word.
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
Well, it finally came, Rick.
It came,
and sadly it went, which means only 37 more fixtures in the Prem. Welcome back to Golazo Supremo Go.
The season, it's just going before our eyes. Where did the season go?
Gone in 60 seconds, or in 90 minutes, as the case may be. Mm. One fixture down, 37 to go, and we can go through game by game, all we want. We can pick and pop. We can pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friends' nose,
right.
as you well know.
Well, and also, as George Carlin said, you can prick your finger, but you can't finger your...
Well, yeah. You could say that on a podcast, but, you know, hickory dickory dock. And,
what are you, Dice?
Yeah, that's a quick little Dice Clay. Yeah.
You know, I did a commercial with Dice one time.
Tell me, what commercial?
It was for BetUS.com, and this was 2001. But we recorded them in different places. So when it aired, it was like, hey, Rick, I want to do a bet over here. What are you looking at? And I'm like, hey, Dice, that sounds great. Yeah, with the hey, back that up. Anyway, that's my Dice story.
That's not bad. Right, up in thanks. 5 minutes, I'll give you some Dennis Miller. But first, we need to look back at the week that was. And before we talk about your gutsy Spurs come from behind effort in front of 60 plus thousand at your brand new stadium, let's start with the game on Friday. Liverpool 4, Norwich 1. I gave it out on 95.7 The Game, Jolo and Dibs as a lock.
Wow.
Give the two goals. Liverpool minus two goals. Mm-hmm. They win by three. That's going to be a fun team to watch all year long.
Yeah, they're very good. There's no doubt. And the people who know, I remember I picked Norwich to go down. That's not really an earth-shattering prediction. I hope they stay up. I kind of like the Canaries and the Delia Smith thing. But a lot of promoted teams, this is what they find out the first day, especially, you know, a lot of promoted teams, just to make it into the Premier League, they actually have to sell their players to get their ground up to speed. There aren't too many teams that get promoted and then buy people to stay in. They just don't have the resources
right yet.
That check comes like during the season, after the window. So they can only really buy in January. So yeah, it is a rude awakening for those promoted teams. And of course, Norwich gets the European champions. That's not easy for anybody.
No, it's a tough draw on the road at Anfield. And you get Salah early and you get an own goal. Origi able to find the net as well in the 4-1 final. Pretty one-sided as most would expect.
And to get a goal, there's something to build on.
Yeah, it's something. And ultimately, when you look at goal differential at the end of it, you might look back at that one goal, which could be a difference between, you know, going up or staying up or going down.
And they technically got two goals. One was a known goal. But
there you go. It's a 3-2 loss, I got to tell you.
A little croupade there.
Yeah, totally. Let's move to Saturday. Spurs 3, Aston Villa 1. When you just look at the scoreline, you think, of course, another boring effort for Spurs. But when you watch the game, holy cow, were you guys in some trouble? Ricky T, react.
This is. I'm doing my little story right here, and I'm going to spend a little bit longer on this. Tottenham has a situation with Christian Eriksen, unfortunately, and we know how good he is. The most assists in the last 8 years. Most
started
goals
on the
outside
bench.
The box. He said after the season, I'd like a new challenge, unless there's nothing better. So he didn't demand it, but he kind of made it clear that he'd like to go. There were talks about Real Madrid. There's talks about Man U. I didn't think that was going to happen. And now I still think he might get sold to Atletico Madrid. We'll see. But Pochettino made two statements. He's like, okay, you don't want to be here. Let's just put you on the bench. And then Jan Vertonghen, he says, you're out of shape. You're not starting. He's like, I'm out of shape. So I was just sending a little message early, but Tottenham didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know who they were passing it to. Ndebele was playing kind of the same as Sissoko. There was no service up front. They were completely lost without Eriksen. They got an early goal. My favorite, Danny Rose, my favorite in quotes, runs on, falls down on his butt right on the pitch. Guy scores.
John McGinn in the ninth minute.
John McGinn, a guy that Man U actually tried to sign. Villa didn't sell him. But thank goodness they put Eriksen in, and the entire game changed. It's just amazing how things like that happen. I heard yesterday they want to offer him £200,000 a week, doubling his salary, make him happy, make him stay, because they know how good he is. But Jack Grealish, nonchalant in front of his own box.
Grealish.
Nonchalant, Lamella steals it, and then Kane pounces on two. This is before when Ndebele scored, but here's my
You're
little story.
You're a cool one, Mr. Grealish.
There you go. You're a mean old... Okay.
No, we could go. But, we could do it. That's why I wanted to lead you down that road. That ultimately, the Grealish one where he sits on top of the ball 20 yards from his own goal. It's like, dude, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it, damn you!
He was too busy working on his Team America hair, I do,
gorgeous.
I guess. Gorgeous locks.
Conditioner.
But here's my little story. And this
Hashtag
is,
product.
For the people, this is peeling back the curtain who think that we come to work in limousines or helicopters. So I had a shift here, 95.7.
Watch your mouth.
And you have to get here. I know, some bullshift. You have to get here an hour before to prep and things if you're going to do a professional job. And you and I, you know, we're professionals. So
Pros.
I knew there was outside lands. And so I was worried about the traffic. So I knew I was probably going to miss about the last 10 minutes of the game to run to BART. So I see the Ndebele goal. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll try to watch the rest
Which
of it.
Which makes
my...
it 1-1 in the 73rd minute.
Yes.
The tide clearly had turned at that point, but if you're Aston Villa, you're thinking, hold on for one if you can.
They still were seeming pretty confident, even though the Tottenham had the bulk of the possession and with Eriksen coming in. So I run to BART. I close my door. The train's coming. And I realize if I miss it, I'm waiting 20 minutes, right?
Nine car, double train, nine car. Pretty good screech.
Fifth car, Pittsburgh Baypoint train. And so, it tues me. I don't have my medicine. I need some money for my medicine. It's also a little BART there. It's every car. It's the home of mental illness, the toilet on rails, Bay Area Rhapsod, porta potty. So, I realized my car door is shut.
By the way, but go
That's
ahead.
That's right. The car door shuts on the belt. So, I don't even think it's closed. And I go, dude, I'm like, I'll just leave it unlocked. I'll risk it. So I run, get on the train. I'm like, okay, I'll get to work on time. No phone. So
no.
Normally I'd
you
be like.
You left it here?
I left it in my car.
Oh,
so I'm going
snap.
To work. So I didn't know on BART who won. I had to walk all the way here. And then I turn the computer. I see Harry Kane's face. And I'm like, that's probably a good sign.
Yeah. No phone, no lights, no motor car, not a single luxury.
That's very nice, Gilligan.
Thank you. It just struck me. I had a Gilligan question on Trivia Crack that I'm playing against my son.
Oh, what was it?
What was the name of the ship?
Oh,
that
that's
they,
easy. Yeah,
of course, okay. Of course.
That's
but awesome. He beat me last time around, so I'm trying to write
wow.
the ship. My 16-year-old,
nice.
He woodshedded me. Harry Kane, 86th minute, a beautiful goal, and then an absolute poacher's goal. Wando smiling wherever he was when he saw that because the ball just falls to Harry Kane. 3-1, your final. All in all, Christian Eriksen, is he the key to this Tottenham team? Because Ndebele looked very good, Sissoko looked threatening, and Harry Kane didn't really have to do much for the first 75 minutes to have an imprint.
Yeah, you got to play your striker the whole time, but you got to get him service. No one can create the flow of the game, not just create goals, but no one can be that pivot man, that engine room guy like Eriksen is. And you bring up Wando. Did you see he had a Belgium-style miss this last
no,
weekend?
No, a sitter?
Ball coming
doorstep.
Right, ball coming right at the doorstep. Put his foot out. He's 1 yard from the goal, over the bar.
Man,
I know.
Well,
love the guy. Hey, no one has more goals in the MLS history.
In the history of the MLS.
That's right, going back to '96. But I just thought that looked familiar.
No, it's. I mean, deja vu.
And may I interject,
please?
We were going to do this last week, and I think both of us forgot. Just the injection of VAR. Into the Prem is such a huge thing, and how is it going to affect everything? And I'm a fan of getting it right. Well, here's the thing. What is this, of course, sassiness? Rick likes everything dumb.
No, it's just VAR, I think, you know, and you start to look at it, and even in the games where it didn't factor in, and I know Gabriel Jesus had the first ever goal disallowed.
That's right.
For VAR, in real time, could we have not gotten that right? And we don't know because the officials now, we don't raise our flag anymore because we got to let it play out. And then we wait for the VAR.
Finger to the ear.
And then finger to the ear. And then we make the TV screen. And then we go look at it. Whatever happened to just making a call?
I understand that too. But I read this study on Sky News. The leagues that had it last year were the Champions League, and the Women's World Cup. The Men's World Cup, as we know, had it too. The average amount of time, and there are only four categories. One of them is for mistaken identity, which has never been used. But the average time for all those three competitions was 83 seconds. MLB and NFL would kill for under a minute and a half.
You're right.
If it was an average of 3 minutes, 4 minutes, then I'd be like, you know what, Dibs, you're probably right. But this is an interesting thing I don't think a lot of people know, and that is there are two stadia that don't have a Jumbotron for the crowd to watch. And you'd think, you know,
currently in the Prem,
yeah,
you're saying?
You think, what newly promoted team? No, Old Trafford and Anfield.
Wow, I was going to go with Vicarage Road.
Exactly.
But no.
They do not have the screen, so they have to be told over the tannoy, or as we would say.
Thank you, PA.
But I think about, this is why I'm a fan of VAR. I think about the 1991 FA Cup final.
I think about it all the time.
Yes, this is Knott's Forest with a young Roy Keane and Tottenham Hotspur, and they're going to get back into Europe. The ban is over, so there's a Cup Winners' Cup to go to. And Paul Gascoigne, in the first minute of the game, has the ball in the box, and Stuart Pearce, sighs like I just did that mic. His shin's off. I mean, just... No ball. Just comes in and just kicks him right in the shins. He falls on his face, and Roger Milford was this stately old ref. It was going to be the last game of his career, and he always had a big smile on his face with a perm.
Old blind spot Milford, they called him, as I recall.
Exactly right. He came in, and he did the umpire safe sign, you know, like, nothing here.
Right.
Because you don't give penalties in the first minute of the game. That was the old thing. I wish that had been true in the Champions League final this year.
Wow.
But I think, you know what? That's some BS. That is the ultimate penalty. And so at least it's for things like that. It's not for ticky-tack, was he safe at first on a bang-bang? I'm with you. That's useless. That's not why replay was invented. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, you can get screwed by it. There are times when you think, ooh, we didn't get a penalty, but now maybe you did. Maybe they're looking at it at Stockley Park going, all right, let's take a look at that. Halt play, and then if you see the finger go to the ear.
Right. Right.
And then the magic
rectangle.
I do
like the fact that they are holding it to the highest possible standard of confirmation. At least that's what they're saying.
Right.
My problem, my greatest problem with instant replay is the way that we have corrupted it to look at every micro action in super micro slow-mo.
Right.
Now, if you're looking at an overhead shot when a ball's played, if a man was offside or not, if you can get a camera straight down the line and you can see that, fine, that's pretty definitive, and like you say, 83 seconds, that can be solved. Mm-hmm. When we get into situations of contact in the box, where maybe a player shoulders a guy off the ball and it's iffy, so now we're going to go to VAR and see, or standard yellow card foul. We had one of those over the weekend where somebody came in with a dangerous challenge. It was a yellow, but now we got a VAR to make sure it's not a red. Well, honestly, it's not close to being a red, and now you're going to look at it in super slow-mo, and you're going to see that, yeah, the defender did kind of charge hard with the shoulder, and he did get him up above the neck, and it looked somewhat accidental and just an aggressive play, but now that we look at it slow-mo, now we can make our imprint on the game.
No,
so that's my big fear as we head forward. So far, so good, and I think the standard they've set is, and if they hold to it, I think you're going to see very few overturns unless it is blatant.
Yeah, and as I said, I'm in favor of it. I don't love it because of things like that you just said. And earlier in the Tottenham game, there was a play between Harry Winks and someone, and they said, right now they're seeing if that was a red card. Now everyone's playing, and I'm like, well, no one on the pitch, the refs aren't. And then they showed a play, and he kind of moved his hand back, and it's like, okay, no red card. I'm like, wait, they're checking on that? So I do hear you, but right now... And being America, I reserve the right to change my mind.
America.
I'm a fan of VAR.
I love it. As we go around the Prem week one, this is Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle,
good
Dan
discussion,
Dibley.
By the way.
Yeah, it's good. And VAR will be a theme throughout the year. Inevitably, they're going to get one wrong because nobody's perfect.
Right.
You know, hashtag the machines. But at some point, we're going to have to revisit this. Man City over West Ham, 5-0. That call had really nothing to do with it. Kind of felt like Warriors-Grizzlies in late November where Steph and Clay each go for 30 and you win 128 to 88.
And just think, somebody had to tell Jesus he wasn't perfect.
No, that's... Man, I'm glad you got that in there. That's
what happened in that game.
Although Jesus did get one, Gabriel Jesus
yes.
found the sheet. And I had a fantasy Premier League debate. Mm. At the last minute, I was going to go with Raheem Sterling. Mm. But I thought, you know what? What Rick said about Sergio Aguero, he's just a talisman. And he finds his way onto the score sheet. He did get one, Raheem Sterling with three, as my team, Nostra Diblis, fell in the opener. So I'm now 0-1 in the fantasy Premier League. Brighton over Watford, 3-0. Maybe the most shocking result of the weekend.
They heard me pick them to go down, Brighton and Hove Albion. And I have
Bolton
nothing.
Board.
I have nothing. What that is for me, that was just kind of a hunch thing. And I'm also a little bit mad at them for firing Gustavo Poyet. And this is a few years ago. So maybe it was just me kind of like thinking you deserve to go down. I don't lock my heart in the trunk all the time. So that's like with West Ham. I have a friend in Liverpool who was saying my predictions, and I predicted West Ham, and he said, I don't see that. And then he immediately texts me, I think you're right about West Ham. After the result, I'm like, it's just one game.
Don't. Yeah, and that's a tough spot to open up against the defending Premier League champions. Burnley beat Southampton 3-0. Bournemouth and Sheffield, good opening draw for Sheffield United as they make it back into the Prem.
Remember, I predicted the Blades to stay up.
Yes, and I predicted United to be one of the three Uniteds to.
That's right, three United, down. And it as you
and
said,
it feels
that was your
quite
line.
Good. Yeah. Now we need to get to the unpleasantness of the weekend, and that's what happened at the aforementioned Old Trafford, where Manchester United took Chelsea to the bike rack after school and whooped that ass. And it reminds me of my days at Oak Manor School where it was, you know, 3:15. You had a problem with somebody on the playground. During school, it was 3:15 at the bike racks. And once you got challenged like that, you had to be there 3:15 at the bike racks. Otherwise, you'd be labeled in a way that you didn't want to be labeled.
I'll never
Chelsea
forget.
Was forced to meet Man U. I'm sorry, Rick.
That's all right.
At the bike rack. And Chelsea got a fistful of
dollars?
Red. Yes. Shout out Clint Eastwood. Good Lord, Chelsea. And I am now regretting putting them in my final four.
Well, please. As you said.
Shout out bike racks.
Gary Lineker said it was the finest performance Man United has had since they had Mourinho. But here's the thing. There's a huge push from the United fans to get rid of the president of the team because they said he didn't buy anyone. And it's like, look at this. Look what Spurs are doing. Look at, you know, this team. Look at that team. I'm like, you broke the all-time transfer record on Harry Maguire. Maybe he's worth it. Maybe he's not. So you can't say he's not doing anything there. But they're really mad. They're not in the Champions League. This is the same group that when the Glazers came in and it was U.S. ownership, they decided we're going to go back to being Newton Heath, our original name. We're going to wear green and gold. So that came back again. Green and gold until it's sold. All these hashtags for Man U. And I was like, these people who hate on Man U, you're missing out on a lot of fun with your favorite team because they do win stuff and they have a lot of great players.
Right. And that to me is ultimately the biggest thing. If I was a Manchester United supporter, I'd be excited about is even though you didn't add any of the top strikers in the game, you've got three bright young stars. And Anthony Martial, who is now coming into his own as a legitimate number nine. I know he took Romelu Lukaku's number, Big Rom, who went to Inter Milan. Number nine was available, and he stepped right into it, as he should.
Right.
Marcus Rashford still is the fastest man this side of Usain Bolt on a soccer pitch. And oh, by the way, Jesse Lingard is solid. And then you go back one click to still one of the most enigmatic, talented players in the world in Paul Pogba. If Maguire can be as good a defender as they expect him to be, you still have one of the three best goalies in the world. So, Man U, if you can hold it together, you might have something there.
You definitely could. And that's a key, too, is not selling Pogba yet. And that's the thing. I mean, as I said, as much as I love that England moved away from the European deadline now, so they get it done before the season starts, they can't buy, but they can still sell to Europe, which is upsetting. And they got to wait couple more weeks for that to get over.
And then there's the January transfer window as well. So if a team like Manchester United is not trending toward top four, you might be in more of a sell mode. But then again, if Man U plays like they did in the opener, rocking Chelsea 4-0, if you find yourself in that Champions League window, can you really afford to sell pieces at the deadline?
I remember last week we were talking about Pulisic, and of course Chelsea can't buy in January as well. They're still banned. About what his role would be, and it's funny because I went on the air later that day and people were hitting me on the text line like, yeah, Pulisic didn't look good. I'm like, look, he was a sub. You know, they're going to work him in slowly. We were talking about, you know, maybe taking the Hazard role at some point. They're going to work him in slowly. They don't want to throw him in. I mean, obviously he's an asset and they're going to play him, but it's one game. I don't expect, neither do you. We didn't pick Man United in our top four. Did you? Neither of us had Chelsea in the top four, too.
No, I did by.
You had him at
by
four.
By hook or by crook. That's right. Yeah, okay. I tried to cram him in there. I was a little bit upset at you taking Tottenham.
Oh, that's right. You switched
thing.
During
yeah,
the show.
I went late flip. I'd like to have that back, but there's no mulligans in golf, and there's no mulligans in Golazo Supremo.
There you go.
You put your name on it, and you deal with it.
You do. And then put a ring on it.
If I liked it, I would have put a ring on it, but turns out I didn't.
I guess not.
Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle, and Dan Dibley here as we get you also ready for week two in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. As 38 fixtures go, we've got one down, 37 to go, and you take a look at the slate, and kind of a mixed bag, really. None of the real titans matching up until you get to the marquee spot on Saturday. Well, looky, looky, looky here at the Etihad, 9:30 local time, your defending champion, Manchester City Citizens, against Tottenham Hotspur. The Spurs, Ricky T, you got to feel good about your team's chances in this massive spot.
Once again, that means I'll miss the last 10 minutes again of the game on Sunday.
Because you've got radio duties.
That's right.
Radio. Could you come here and watch the whole thing?
I could come here and watch the whole thing, but I have to stay on the toilet for my regular duties.
Oh, how about that? You know.
But this is the other thing, too.
One of his three subs.
I was talking to some fellow Tottenham fans, and we kind of agree, like, let's just get this over with now. It always seems like this game's at the end of the year. Sonny still, because of the straight red, for violent conduct, that's a 3-game ban. And what he did was he pushed a guy second to last game of the season. So he missed the finale against Everton. He missed last week. He's going to miss this week. Let's just get this one out of the way right now so it doesn't, you know, I'd love a draw, to tell you the truth. I'd be happy with a draw. I wouldn't be ecstatic. I'd be ecstatic with a win, but I'll be happy with a draw. But this one, these are the kind of games that loom large. So I'm just taking, I know it sounds defeatist, but let's just try and get a draw and get this over with.
What do you do about Jan Vertonghen? Is this a situation where you put aside your differences and you realize, look, you've got to have your two big guys back there in the middle? Because to me, as much as Tottenham is about Eriksen's creativity with both feet and Harry Kane's talisman-like ability to find the back of the net, for me, it all goes through that triangle at the back. Alderweireld, Vertonghen, and of course, Hugo Lloris.
No, and you're right. I love those guys. And
I mean, Danny Rose can do Danny Rose things, and it's usually okay.
Well, I love Davinson Sanchez, and he filled in, and he did an amazing job. He almost scored twice in that game, actually. But you never know with a manager, with Pochettino, because last year, the first half of the season, it was Toby. And Toby has an amazing attitude through the whole thing. But like, why aren't you playing a guy who's a World Cup star? And Vertonghen is also a World Cup star for Belgium. So it could have just been this week, but luckily they have a guy in Davinson who's an amazing talent as well. I kind of like it when they go three at the back, because then you have Sanchez, Vertonghen, and Alderweireld, and then you can just go with wingbacks. They don't have as much defensive responsibility. Harry Kane, by the way, sat in that defensive role. Tottenham not only missing Sonny, but missing Dele Alli as well, who would have been in the side. And so, but whatever, there's no sympathy for you. You got to get on with it, and they got the 3 points.
Yeah, especially when you can come with such quality as Sissoko off the bench, and Winks played well. And when Christian Eriksen came in there, it definitely did change the fortunes quite a bit. Again, that's 9:30 Saturday morning, Premier match day number two. Liverpool is out Southampton, so that should be an interesting fixture. Norwich and Newcastle. Everton hosting Watford, Brighton, top of the table-ish. I mean, goal differential notwithstanding.
Sure.
They are hosting West Ham, Arsenal, and Burnley. And then on Sunday, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, and then Chelsea looking to right the ship at home against Leicester City.
Is that Monday Night Football, or is that...
That's Sunday. The Monday Night game is Wolves hosting Manchester United.
Oh.
Which is an interesting spot because Wolves had such a great year last year, particularly at home. And to have Man U come in this early in the season in their home opener, they've got to be pretty revved up.
Wolves were the first promoted team in the last like 8 years to beat Tottenham last year. They're nothing to sneeze at. Let's sneeze at them together. Ready? Achoo!
I mean, wow, jeez. Exactly. That's the start of the pod. If we ever do the outtakes, it's a bunch of coughs, sneezes, and wheezes. We've talked a lot about the Prem. Let's turn our attention to the U.S. women's national team. I understand that you spoke to one of our heroes recently, and there's also some women's team news that's related.
Yeah, just had Crystal Dunn today on my syndicated show, and she's amazing. And, you know, it just kind of brought back the memories of that team. And it's just cool for the first time in our lives to have a soccer team that's the best. Because, you know, our men's team, bless their hearts, not bless their hearts this last World Cup cycle, but, you know, they're not there just yet. But, yeah, there was a shakeup at USA Soccer. And honestly, I don't really know a lot of the ramifications about Ernie Stewart, because I know Carlos Cordero runs it, a guy who, once again, admitted he never saw a soccer game until he was 50. But Ernie Stewart, we love Ernie. He was the GM, but now he moves up.
Yeah, he's been promoted to the new role of U.S. Soccer Sporting Director, and in his stead will be Kate Markgraf, former U.S. Women's National Team member. She will take over the role of General Manager, GM of the U.S. Women's Team, and her number one job, finding a replacement for Jill Ellis. Is this a situation where Jill's job is somewhat plug and play when you've got this much talent, or is there a particular individual that you got to tab in order to keep this thing rolling?
I think, as always, I mean, you can find a way to screw up teams with great talent. We've seen it before. You have to have someone. I remember Hope Solo said, Jill Ellis panics when the chips are on the line. Well, two World Cups, two wins. I got no problem with Jill Ellis over in this corner in America. I am not familiar with her staff, whether it's going to be somebody promoted within. I have a feeling, because the Ellis thing works so well, they're not going to go to a foreign coach. They're going to keep it here, and I don't think they're going to go back to a Tony DiCicco, Anson Dorrance type of man coach. I think it's going to be an American woman. I don't know who that is, though.
It's interesting, because as you see the coaching carousel turn, their former coach has gone on to coach another women's national team, if I'm not
Sweden,
mistaken.
Sweden, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, her native Sweden.
Right. Mm-hmm. Kate Markgraf, 201 appearances for the U.S. during a playing career that spanned 12 years. She, of course, a member of the 1999 World Cup team, one of the most famous moments in U.S. sports history, certainly the most iconic, maybe the most iconic moment in U.S. women's sports history, if you think about it.
Brandi Chastain at the Pasadena Rose
Bowl,
the sports bra, all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it lives. I mean, that team really, that was the The 91 team in China. I remember I was working at Sports Channel. We showed all those games. There wasn't a lot of parity back then. That was the Michelle Akers thing. But
Michelle
still,
Akers.
Michelle Akers stall, then back to Michelle Akers. She was someone who played in tremendous pain. She's kind of like a Sandy Koufax, like just went out there, and or Steve McNair. The guy's always in pain, bless his rest of his soul. But the 99 team, yeah, that was the Mia Hamm team and all the greats from that team and the Foudies of the world. And
could you
else.
See Brandi Chastain, for example, getting this job at as the U.S. women's coach? Would she be the most qualified of the 99 alums?
I don't think she's been in that type of setup. I've interviewed her many times. I don't think she's coaching with the national team. I mean, they could pull a guy out of the blue like the men did with Berhalter with, you know, which I don't hate Berhalter, but I don't even know if I'd let him be my water boy with his experience. So fingers crossed on him. I think it's going to be someone who's highly accomplished at the collegiate level, or someone who is already part of the setup that they know well. Or maybe the youth coach, you know what I mean, as you move up through the system.
Right. It's interesting, because we talked about, you know, just how important that person is, and might somebody like Brandi Chastain or Mia Hamm, if interested, Julie Foudy, someone who's been around the game, might they be able to step in and just be that leader with the staff? I mean, no one person does any of this alone. So maybe a figurehead person, a symbolic person, someone who can represent the brand, maybe that turns out to be the hire.
Maybe it is. We haven't had that person yet. And by the way, her name just came back to me, Pia Sundhage.
Thank you.
Was the Swedish coach.
If I would have had it, I would have given it to you.
No, we both didn't have it there. I had to rack my head. But I don't I don't see, unless there's someone on the staff who's a big name. I mean, all the women you were just mentioning are more like broadcasters now.
Right.
I know that Chastain does coach a little bit, but I think it's, you know, on the youth, not that I'm going to say youth level. I'd have to get it straight on what Brandy's doing these days. I forgot what it was. She's involved in something. But they're so good that their team is their brand. Like, they don't need a kind of a figurehead. They just need a good coach to just, as you said, just keep the train rolling down the tracks.
One quick postscript as I do my Bryant Gumbel for you here on Real Sports with Rick Tittle. It's actually Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley. San Jose Earthquakes, Rick. When we started talking about them back in March, we had Chris Wondolowski on preseason, and he was quietly hopeful that they would be better. You take a look at what they've done. Fourth in the West, Rick, this team's on fire.
That coach, man, he's a fiery SOB, Matias Almeida, and you think about his days with the World Cup with Argentina. And I was kind of wondering, like, as the season was beginning and they were playing well and you look at him in the sideline, I didn't really get a good read on him. And I know how good he was with Chivas and everything, but I'm like, is he going to blow up on the team, or is he going to just, you know, be a bochy and say, hey, we're fine, we're going to be all right? And I don't know what happens behind the scenes, but whatever he's done, I mean, I give him a lot of credit because honestly, I don't think the Quakes are loaded with talent.
So right.
They're playing as a team, you know? I mean, look at the St. Louis Blues. Name me big stars on that team, you know?
Tarasenko.
A couple. But I mean, there's no huge star. Greece with Otto Rehhagel wins the European Championships. Every game they won was 1-0.
Yeah, you got me now. I had you with the St. Louis Blues, but you went to Graham Rehhagel.
Otto Rehhagel.
Oh, Otto Rehhagel. I was thinking about his brother, Graham.
Every game they won was 1-0, and they beat Portugal for the European champion. So you can get a team like that with not a lot of stars. But yeah, the Quakes right now, very fun, although they lost. But
yeah, Colorado got them. But I think Colorado had Otto Rehhagel.
Otto Rehhagel?
Yeah.
Great coach.
I had a bad case of Otto Rehhagel back in 91, but...
Did you?
That's probably one for another day.
I remember one time I had a rash and they said it was hoculi. So they said wear tight shirts and get rid of it.
You called it Ed? Next thing you know, you're calling holding.
We go around the horn here in Golazo Supremo.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.